Good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's such a joy and a privilege to be found in His presence, to know that the Lord is good and His mercy is endured forever. It's great to see all of you, and I believe that the Lord Jesus will bless you and be with you in a very special and unique way. This morning I'm going to speak about the scriptural way of receiving the Holy Spirit, or baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. When that Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he began to walk in the miraculous, he began to walk in the supernatural. And because of the anointing upon the Holy Spirit's anointing, power was upon him. He was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. He was able to heal the blind. He was able to heal many sicknesses and disease and infirmities. And God's purpose and God's will for the church is to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. There's something you need to know. You know, in the Bible says that Lucifer was also anointed. Do you know that? And there were no other angels, it seems, to be anointed but Lucifer, Satan. And God's will for his children who receive him as his God, personal Savior, desires for us to be full and to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he wants each and every one of us to be anointed with that power so that we could walk out in the supernatural. Jesus said, I give you another comforter, which means that you're saying, I am one comforter and the Holy Spirit is another comforter. So what Jesus, he said, I am one comforter and the Holy Spirit is another comforter. What actually he's trying to say, I will give you someone just like me. So Jesus giving the Holy Spirit someone just like him. So when the Holy Spirit of God operates and come upon a believer, we'll be walking in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what he does, he dwells within you as a believer, as an individual person. So God's Holy Spirit, that resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells within you as an individual person. So everything that is dead, everything that is dried up, everything that is barren in your life, Jesus Christ is able to resurrect it, because he is the resurrection and he is the life, and he has that power to deliver you and to transform you and change you into the image and likeness of Christ. So that same resurrection power, it dwells within you. So you have that supernatural power, that supernatural ability, that supernatural anointing on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling on the inside of you. So you have that incredible power that reigned or live in your life. So you know, when Jesus was when he was crucified, the Bible said he pierced his hands, they pierced his feet, and they pierced his side, and they put a thorn of crowns in his head, and his face was they plucked out his beard, and blood was gushing out all over the body of Jesus, and his body was scourged with the stripes, and they said about 39 stripes that he was scourged. And we find that Jesus' body lied in the tomb. It was like hopeless. And there was no hope in that situation. And now you look at Jesus on the cross when he said it's finished. Even the disciples thought it was truly finished. And we see that power came upon Jesus on the third day. Now I want to ask you a question. Look at Jesus, and what is your situation? Is your situation greater than what Jesus experienced? And that same incredible power came and raised him from the dead. He dwells within you as an individual person. So God's Spirit and God's power, that incredible power, it dwells within you as an individual person. So God wants the church to be anointed. He wants you to be anointed. He wants me to be anointed. So that we could carry out the things, the vision, the purpose, the plan that He purposed in our lives, so that His name will be glorified. So the Holy Spirit wants to come and indwell in each and every one of us and empower us and quicken us so that we could have a relationship with Him. The first thing when you look at the Bible, the first scriptural way of receiving the Holy Spirit, there must be a thirst within your soul. There must be a thirst within your heart. In John chapter 7 verse 37 to 39 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and said, is anyone thirsty? He said, let him come to me and drink. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living waters. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the thing is, there must be a thirst within you as an individual person for wanting the Holy Spirit to move into your life. There must be a desire, there must be a longing within you, and say, God, I need your Spirit, I need your help, I need your guidance, I want more of you. And there must be a passion of having more of God's Holy Spirit in your life. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. So when you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be satisfied and you will be filled. In fact, during the time when the context of that was written, people used to take trips during the long trips, if they passed the desert. And during that time, sometimes windstorms will come and will destroy everything that they possess and everything that they have. And because of the heat is so unbearable, they would be longing for a drink and something to quench their thirst. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, sometimes everything that we thirst for, the wrong things. There's a passion, there's a love for the wrong things that we have as individual people. And this is why sometimes when we have nothing, we want to thirst for God and thirst for Him and thirst for the refreshing power of the Holy Spirit. There must be that longing, that thirst within you. Say, God, I just desire more of your Holy Spirit. In fact, as you know, some of you know, we went to Israel recently. We were in Jericho. In July, and it was 44 degrees, and the only thing that will help us to keep us going is drinking a lot of liquids. There was a thirst all the time. Even if you're not feeling thirsty, you want to drink. And that is what I'm trying to say. There must be something that is within you and within your desire and within your heart, within your soul, that you say, God, I want more of you. I'm thirsty for you. What are you thirsting for? What are you hungering for? So that the passion within our hearts to be thirst for the Holy Spirit. I know the second last day before we leave Israel, we went to Hezekiah's tunnel. And we went into the tunnel. It was 45 minutes long. But that was the most refreshing part of the whole trip in Israel, because it was absolutely cool, cool, cool. And when we came there, when we finished the walk, we came to the place where the pool of Bethesda, the pool of Siloam. And we find that that place, the pool of Siloam in John chapter 5, we find that the angel of the Lord will stir up the water, and whoever steps in first, the Bible says they were made whole, they were made well. And we find in this context in John chapter 7, on this last day, what they used during those times, the high priest would have gone to the pool of Siloam, and what he did, he take water, put water into the pitcher, and he poured it out on the altar. Because they had, at that time they were experiencing drought. So they wanting God to, they were sowing a seed of water so that they could reap water. And yet Jesus is saying from this context, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for God and thirsty for the Spirit of God? Are you thirsty for Him? Do you want to drink from Him? And sometimes even when we first came to this country, we thought we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to build a house, we're going to buy this, we're going to do that, we're going to open this business, we're going to help this person doing. All these things are good. But we lose the emphasis of God. Are we thirsty for God? Are we thirsty for the passion of the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit wants us to be fill us with that passion. There must be that desire. There must be that thirst within you. Say, God, I need Thy Spirit. I need Thy Spirit. I need Your Spirit in my life. You know, when the Bible says that when the angel stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first at the pool of Siloam, the first they were cleansed, and secondly they were made whole. So when God's Holy Spirit comes upon you, it cleanses you, it brings a form of cleansing within you, a form of purification, a form of holiness, a form of righteousness on the inside. When you want more of the Spirit, it makes you holy, because the Holy, how can you be holy without the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit comes and transforms you and He makes you holy. And not only that, the Bible said that they were healed as well. So it brings healing and deliverance of the Holy Spirit's power. The same power that Jesus operated in the life of Jesus can be manifested in your life. So there must be a thirst within you. Say, God, I'm desperate for Your Holy Spirit. You know, in John chapter 6, the Bible says, after this, Jesus, and verse 1 says, after this, and His disciples went over the Sea of Tiberias. And then He said, a great multitude followed Him. He said, a great multitude followed Him because they saw the signs that Jesus did. Right? And the Bible says that when Jesus fed the 5,000, do you know, not one of them complained? Everyone was satisfied with the living bread that Jesus gave them. Everyone was satisfied. And later on, when they could not find Jesus, they also got in the boat and they came to seek Jesus. And Jesus said, you seek Me not because of the signs, but now you seek Me because you are full with the Word of God. You are full, you are satisfied. So what brings the satisfaction in a person's life is the Holy Spirit. If you're only looking for signs, that's what you'll get. But when you have an encounter, when we are full with God and with the Spirit of God, signs, wonders, miracles will follow all those things. And that is why when we don't see signs and we don't see wonders, what happens? We get discouraged, we get despised, and we feel that God not hearing our prayer. But God is trying to say, we need to be full with the Spirit, full with the Word of God, full when you are satisfied. As Mike said, you'll be disappointed when you go to the meal that you feel is terrible or not satisfying. How would you feel? So God wants to satisfy you. And only the Holy Spirit, God's power, God's anointing, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, it'll come and it fills you on the inside of you. It makes you full. It makes you satisfied. It makes you stronger on the inside. It gives you the ability, although you're going through stuff, it gives you that ability to say that God is with me. So that the Holy Spirit of God must come upon your life and say, God, I just need more of You. Now look at this, the other story. The woman with going to the well. And Jesus said, give Me a drink. And then after that, Jesus said to this woman, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks from this well will thirst again. But whoever gives the water that I drink will never thirst again. And then the woman said, give me this drink. And after that encounter with Jesus, you know what the Bible says? This woman left her water pot and went away. So what did she come for the well for? Water. But in the end of the story, she had to leave that physical water and go, because she now was full with the spiritual water. Living waters were flowing on the inside. Rivers of water was now flowing on the inside of you. There were rivers of God in your life. So today your life may be full with stuff, full with passion, full. But when you have that encounter with Jesus, when you have that revelation of who Jesus is, you'll be satisfied. You want to leave things behind. You want to leave your past behind and you want to follow Jesus. This woman said, come and she went and told the men, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. And the Bible said that whole city came because they knew that this lady, who she was. So when God can transform a person and he can change that person, so that the living waters, the living Holy Spirit must begin to work in a person's life. So today, God wants to say, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? And look at this whole week, it was very unbearable hot as well. But are you thirsty for the living waters? Are you thirsty for the things that you are going through? So God wants to empower us to be a light and be a witness that he will be glorified. We need to thirst after the Holy Spirit, beloved friends. Have the desire. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Let him come to me. Let him come to me. Sometimes when you are thirsty, you are going to the wrong people. Like this lady, she was going to the wrong places. But when she encountered Jesus, everything changed in her life. So God's Holy Spirit, God's power, God's anointing is upon your life. But he wants you to thirst for him and say, God, I thirst for you today. I long for you. I have this passion for you. I have this desire to you. I have the desire to be in your presence. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 14, 28 concerning Lucifer, it said that he walked and walked in the presence of God in and out. He walked into the presence of God. He dwells in the presence of God. And how much more through the Holy Spirit we can have that same kind of relationship, walking into the presence of God, knowing God and having a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. So there must be a thirst. Secondly, we need to pray. And the Bible says in Acts 1 verse 14, and they continued in prayer, in one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So we find that the 10-day prayer in the upper room teaches us that we must pray for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, tarry into Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So these disciples were praying for the Holy Spirit. They were praying for God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. So that as much as you have that thirst, you must also be wanting to, so the thirst will lead you to prayer. Because even David said, I long for you in a dry and thirsty land. So we must long for God, even through prayer, calling upon the name of God and say, God, how you help the disciples, how you help the people of old, I want that same help in my life. I want the same anointing. I want the same power. I want that same anointing. I want the same ability. So when you begin to pray and when you begin to seek the face of God, God will begin to pour out his Spirit upon our hearts. And you look throughout history, wherever you see great revival, they must always see it was always accompanied with prayer. You can't take away great revival without prayer. Many people say you don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already here. Yes, I believe that. That is true. But we need to pray and we need to ask God, say, God, we need the Holy Spirit and we need the power of God even to transform and change us into the image and likeness of God. Because the 10-day prayer in the upper room teaches us a simple lesson: where there's no prayer, there's no power. And today we need to pray just like the upper. As we begin to pray earnestly, as we begin to call upon the name, He'll pour out His Spirit, He'll pour out His power, He'll pour out His anointing, He'll pour out His blessing, even over your life as an individual person. So the Holy Spirit is there to empower you as an individual person. So when you go and lock yourself in prayer and begin to pray and begin to seek the face of God, He'll begin to pour out His mercy. It began to pour out His love. It began to pour out His power in your life. So the desire to thirst and the desire to pray has to be interlinked, has to be one as an individual person. Because the disciples obeyed the presence, obeyed the will of God. And do you know when Jesus said when He ascended to heaven, there were 500 people that ascended, saw Him ascended to heaven. And these 500 people received this command, go to the upper room and wait. But on the day of Pentecost, only 120 persevered in prayer. The 380 walked away and thought it was getting late or things of this world crept into their lives. So God's Spirit and God's power is available that when you begin to pray. So you have that relationship, God, you know who I am and you know everything about me, and a desire for the Holy Spirit. Say the disciples, just think how they prayed and think about the atmosphere in that for the 10 days. And those days they didn't have aircon like we have today, fans and things. And if you've been, some of you been to the old city in Jerusalem, if you're in that old city, it's very unbearable there. But imagine the desire that they prayed and they began to seek the faith and began to call upon God and say, God, help me. And you know, they have Pentecost normally in May or some way, May, June. And you know how hot it is in Israel at that time? So imagine the Holy Spirit coming. So the Holy Spirit must empower us. So we must pray and ask God to give us the strength. Sometimes when it's too cold, we don't want to pray. When it's too hot, we don't want to pray. But God must put that passion within us. Say, God, give me a desire to pray. Pray for the church and pray for our families. Pray for the people. Pray that God will do us something. So the more you pray, the more the Holy Spirit will be enlightened. Because you know, Jesus had this communication with His Father all the time. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, I only do what I see my Father is doing. So for 3.5 years, Jesus was only seeing on a daily basis what His Father is doing. So He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Father. So the Holy Spirit, He was in tune with the Holy Spirit through prayer. And God wants us to be people with passion to pray, passion to love Him, and passion to empower, passion to see the will of God be manifested in our lives. The third thing is the laying on for hands. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 14 to 18, now when the apostles who went to Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent for Peter and John, who had come to them, and they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. Now you see the story here. This is a very interesting story, because Philip the evangelist, what he was doing is preaching to the people of Samaria. And while he was preaching, the blind were seeing, the crippled were walking, the dead were rising, miracles were taking place, the sick was being healed. But the Bible says something very interesting, that the Holy Spirit did not come upon them. It's only through the laying on special hands that the impartation of the Holy Spirit was given. They called for who? For Peter and John. And when Peter and John came, what happened? They laid their hands on them, and what the Bible said that they received the Holy Spirit. So the impartation of the anointed hands of Peter and John gave them that power so that they could be full with the Holy Spirit. Even we have another interesting story, you know, Ananias and Paul. Paul, when he's going to Damascus, he had this vision encounter with God. And the Bible said he was blinded, and then the men took him to the place of Damascus, to a place called Straits. But listen to this. Paul, having a revelation of Jesus himself, Jesus never baptized him. Like Philip preaching to the people of Samaria, he never baptized them with the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible commissioned one man. His name was Ananias. He said, I want you to go to the place called Straight. See, I've straightened one man out. His name is Saul. You know who he is. I've straightened him out for the gospel's sake. And the Bible says when he laid his hands upon him, what happened? The power of God came upon his life. The power of God came upon the Apostle Paul. Do you know in the story, nothing ever is mentioned about Ananias after that? Read the Bible. Nothing else is mentioned. But what a great mission Ananias had. He's one of the greatest apostles in the Word of God, in the Bible. The same thing with Philip. When he said we found the Messiah, he brought him to Jesus. And what happened? We don't really hear about Philip in the Bible, but we hear about Peter. And you know, amazing, sometimes your contribution in the kingdom of God may be small, but it can have a great impact because you never know who you bring to Christ. Do you know that Philip was also in the Bible? He was the person that brought that boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. So no matter how little you can give, it can feed a vast multitude of people. So the thing is, God anointed Ananias, and he wanted, through the laying of hands, the power of God came upon him, upon them. And also we find that in Acts chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So the laying of hands by God's anointed will empower them to be imparted with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke with tongues and they began to prophesy. The next way we can receive the Holy Spirit is by hearing the Word of God. Do you know that? It's by receiving, how you receive the Holy Spirit is by hearing the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 verse 44, while Peter was still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, upon all those who heard the Word of God. The Holy Spirit fell upon them, all those who heard the Word of God. So when you have that passion to listen to the Word of God and have that desire to understand, listen, and hear the Word of God, we find that you can be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. Because Peter, he was preaching in the house and preaching about Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And the same scripture in Acts 10 verse 38. And he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good. And while he was speaking all these words, the Holy Spirit power came upon their lives. Nobody had to pray for them. They were received because these people were already prepared. They were already prepared to listen to the Word of God. They prepared themselves to receive God's Word through this man, Peter. So you must be prepared to receive, not only to hear the Word of God, listen to the Word, obey the Word of God. Let that Word become part of your life, that even as you keep on hearing and keep on hearing and keep on hearing, what happens? You'll get satisfied. The power of God will come upon you. You know, in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he said, we all know, most of us know the scripture. He said, meditate on this law day and night, and you'll have good success. And a lot of us, we want good success, we want prosperity, but we're not willing to meditate on the word God day and night. In fact, when we went to Israel, and Yoshni and Hannah went to the Holocaust Museum, and I was sitting outside because I've already been to that museum. And while they were there, there were some young students who were starting to be rabbis. Had a conversation, a chat with them, and we're just talking about basic things, whether they like it and how the ministry, and know how they prepare themselves for the ministry and all those things. And then one of the things that came out, they said of memorizing the Bible, the Torah. So I asked him a question, do you all memorize the Torah? Yes, he said, that's one of our responsibility. And then I asked him, how long does it take you to memorize the Torah one day? You know what he said to me? In fact, I was embarrassed. He said 14 hours a day. Imagine if we had that passion. Imagine if we had that love. Imagine if I had that love. That passion for God, that love for God. 14 hours. I was speechless. I could not ask him any more questions. In fact, I felt embarrassed. And sometimes, God, do we have that passion to read His Word, to study His Word? Because the more you read the Word of God, the more you feel the power of God, the more you feel the presence of God, the more the Spirit of God will begin to move in your life. Why the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit works with the Word of God because Jesus is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't go anything contrary to this Word. Do you know that? That is why someone says you something and it's contrary to the word of God, and they say a prophesy, and then you know it's not from God. But the Holy Spirit never contradicts Himself. He uses the word of God. The anointing is when you let the word become part of your life. Let you rooted and grounded in the word. Let the word be fruitful in your life. Let the word of God begin to grow like a tree, like a mustard seed. That if even when Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll remove mountains. And actually he said, when you have little faith, you can't really move mountains. But that actually Jesus is trying to say, when you have faith like a mustard seed that is growing like a mustard seed, and you know when the mustard seed grows, what happens? It becomes the tallest of all trees. And when you have that mustard seed growing on the inside of you and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, what happens? You see the fruit, you'll see the evidence. Because imagine you take a mustard seed and bury it, what happens? There is no fruit, there is no productivity. But the Holy Spirit is God's word planted in our lives. So we need to plant the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Be attentive to the word of God. As I said, you never know one Sunday or one day when you're listening to God's word, your whole situation can change. That is a fact. You know, your whole situation can change just like that. Yeah, these people were just listening to the word of God. The Holy Spirit just came. The whole thing was transformed. So that is why when you come expecting and believing that God is going to do a new work in our lives. So you see, the scriptural way of receiving the Holy Spirit, there must be a thirst. There must be accompanied with prayer, laying of hands, and hearing the word of God. When you begin to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And today I believe that God wants to anoint you this morning. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do a new work in your life. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit this morning and say, God, I want more of you. Have a thirst for him. Long for him. Desire him. And he wants to fill you till you overflow this morning. You can say, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Maybe you desire the Holy Spirit this morning. I want you to stand this morning and say, God, I desire the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit's power. I want his help in my life. I want his guidance in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you this morning, Lord Jesus. I just say, God, I just need more of you and more of your presence and more of your power today. More of your help in my life, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in your own gentle way. Come in your strength and come in your power today. Hallelujah. We just need you, Holy Spirit, this morning. Hallelujah. And we just trust in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And today we pray, Father, that you will just anoint us, O God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the power of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even today, Father, that your Spirit will move in our hearts today. And Lord, we pray that even today, Father, that you'll just bless this ministry and bless this church, O God. And I pray, Father, that your power will be manifested in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you give each and every one of us a greater desire for the Holy Spirit working in and through our hearts this morning. And today we pray, Lord, that even today that your glory will be manifested in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that even today for those that stand this morning, I pray, Lord, that even today that your Spirit will be poured out afresh in their hearts, O God, that you'll anoint them afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. I pray that you'll take them to another level with you, Lord Jesus. I pray that the glory, the power, the presence of God will be upon their hearts, O God. And I pray that in the name of Jesus that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they'll be witnesses, O God, in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth, O God. And I pray, Lord, that in the name of Jesus there'll be witnesses, O God, that wherever they go in this local community, O God, I pray that you'll anoint the leaders, O God. I pray that even today for Robert and for Mike as well, Lord Jesus, that your power, your glory and your presence will be manifested in the name of Jesus. We pray that you pour out your Spirit and pour out your power afresh in their hearts, O God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that your glory and your presence will be with them in the name of Jesus. We pray that you refresh them, O God. We pray that times of refreshing will come upon their hearts, O God, come upon their lives, O God. And I pray, Lord, that even today, Father, that your Spirit will begin to work in and through their hearts and in through their lives, O God. And Father, we pray that even the things that they want to see from your word, Lord Jesus, even being fulfilled in their lives, O God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring fulfillment in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that even today that you'll anoint them, that when they lay hands on the sick, they will recover, Lord Jesus. We pray that your power, the impartation of the Holy Ghost in power, will be manifested in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that even today that you'll transform them and change them in the image and likeness of Christ, Lord Jesus. And I pray for more of your Spirit and more of your power, more of your anointing, even to rest even upon their lives in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that even they're trusting you for breakthrough, trusting you for the supernatural, trusting you for the miraculous, O God, trusting you for new doors to open. I pray that in the name of Jesus, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. It shall be opened in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray, Lord, that your power will flow in Jesus' mighty name. And everything the devil has stolen from their lives, O God, will be restored, O God, because you will bring restoration, O God, from the north, from the south, from the east and to the west, O God. We pray that you restore to this ministry, Lord Jesus, even as it's trusting in you. We pray, Father God, that your glory and your presence will be manifested, O God. We pray for the fresh anointing upon this church, O God, a fresh anointing upon their lives, O God, and I pray that your glory will be manifested even when people come into the house of God, even they come into this place, they will know the presence of God, they will know the Holy Spirit, O God. They'll be convicted of their sins, they'll be convicted of their wrongdoings, they'll be healed, they'll be delivered, O God, even those in bondages, O God, those in habits, O God, they will be delivered and set free, Lord Jesus. And we pray for the power of God even to be manifested, O God. Bless this ministry, I pray, Lord Jesus, and I thank you that even today that your presence will be with them, Lord Jesus, and I pray that you'll bless this ministry, Lord, and bless each one of them, Lord Jesus. We pray that your Spirit will fill their hearts, O God, and you'll touch them in a very special way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we give you thanks, Father, for your power to be manifested. We pray this in the name of Jesus. We desire more of your Spirit, more of you, more of your love, more of your presence, more of your power. It's only you can make the difference in our lives, because your word says in you we live and move and have our beings, O God. And today we pray that your blessing will be upon this ministry in Jesus' mighty name. Bless this ministry, I pray. Bless this ministry, I pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.